Hello, everyone. I'm Al Deldegan, creator and producer of the Leaders, Innovators, and Big Ideas podcast, supported by Rainforest Alberta. This podcast showcases the people who are working to improve Alberta's innovation ecosystem. Let's join Mike as he learns more about the burning man of the corporate world with his guest, Graham Edge. Take it away, Mike.
Thank you very much, Al, for that intro. And thank you very much today, Graham Edge, for joining us, CEO and founder of Energy Disruptors. If you're in Calgary, if you've been in Calgary for a bit, you have to know about Energy Disruptors. If you haven't been, I highly, highly recommend it. It was one of the most impactful conferences I've ever joined since the year it launched. But we'll get into all of that as we go. Graham, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah. And thanks, obviously, for having me on the show, Mike.
Of course. A pleasure you can make it here today. Let's start with the obvious. Can you tell us a little bit about Energy Disruptors? What are you trying to do here in the city?
Yeah, it's one of these things. It was actually bizarrely an idea I had on a flight coming back from Europe in 2016. And basically the premise of Energy Disruptors, it's a future of energy event that brings together a very eclectic mix of stakeholders to really talk about energy transition and look at solutions around how we reduce global emissions. So one of the things that we do is we bring together oil and gas, renewables, people from the world of nuclear, people from the world of electricity more broadly, finances, innovators, big corporates, entrepreneurs, and really try to get them into one room and start to try to collaborate in a more meaningful way. So we're kind of pitching Energy Disruptors as the world's most collaborative energy event.
And I definitely see that. Like something that you've done that was so phenomenal that you're at the, I believe the first one post-pandemic it might have seen, but I saw your sponsors like in every corner set up of the room, virtual escape rooms. You had different ones and all of them there collaboratively, like you say, discussing ideas, seeing other people in the industry. And I do really firmly believe, as a lot of the podcast listeners do as well and other folks, that collaboration is the new competition. And you're really living that. You're showing ways that organizations can collaborate together in new ways and actually work at solving these problems, which has been incredibly impactful for the city. So how does Energy Disruptors help or enable corporate innovators and entrepreneurs? So just maybe a little bit more context on this question as well. There's listeners that are inside large organizations trying to make change, trying to innovate. Sometimes we've all heard the old adage, it's hard to re-steer the Titanic and moving these large organizations. So how does Energy Disruptors help or enable those individuals, whether they're attending your conference or beyond?
So it's funny you mentioned those individuals, because when we first started the summit in kind of 2018, we did the first event. We weren't sure what the audience would be like. So we kind of threw this out there into the world thinking, 30 people might show up. And thankfully that didn't happen. Thankfully we got about 2,000 people that bought tickets, and a large number of those individuals, I would say at least half, came from major enterprise companies. Which actually really surprised us. Like we were not expecting that whatsoever. And I think what that really showed us and what we recognized was there's a lot of people trying to drive internal change at these bigger companies. And, I have never worked at a big company. I've always spent my career kind of doing entrepreneurial things and working with, small private companies. But it really showed me that I think some of these individuals felt quite isolated in these large corporations. So they're trying to drive change. Sometimes you feel like you're pushing water uphill. It can be incredibly frustrating. So I think one of the simple things that we do is we actually built a community where a lot of those people could actually hang out together and they could meet their counterparts from other organizations and start to share learnings and ideas about what was working and not working when it came to really trying to drive change and improvements within those bigger enterprises. I'm a firm believer that if we're going to meaningfully reduce global emissions and accelerate energy transition, then big corporates are going to play an absolutely critical role in that. And we tend to, as a society, when we think about profound change, we tend to beat to death new technologies and the economics of those new technologies. But one of the huge factors that leads to change is actually societal acceptance and people driving change. And so create a culture where you're actually looking to the future, you're embracing change. And so that's one of the things that we focus on at the summit, is a lot of the content is actually around culture and social aspects and human factors of change. And the one final thing I'd add is as well, if you can inspire people and give them hope that's also grounded in a reasonable degree of pragmatism, then hopefully they're then going to go back out into the world and feel inspired to kind of redouble their efforts in their own organizations.
And you mentioned something there again with the collaboration, that when you first launched this event, you saw like a lot of corporate innovators join. It's interesting because, you know, corporate individuals, it is, let's be honest, tough to get them out to these events sometimes. That, you know, oftentimes people think that they are just going out when they're looking for jobs. So it's very hard to get them to kind of shift when they are fully employed in a large organization, fully engaged, and start engaging in the community. And there's always concerns as well about, you know, who else is in the room? Who are you collaborating with? So you have to watch that. What is it about energy disruptors that you think has made you so successful in appealing to those corporate innovators, those entrepreneurs, those people trying to make change?
You know, it's a great question. And I'm not sure I have a totally clear answer. I think I can guess at that. I've maybe got a few assumptions around why that is. You know, I think right from the beginning, we've tried to be quite courageous and brave. Even the name Energy Disruptors, when we actually threw that out there into the market here in kind of 2017, 2018, we actually got a lot of people asking us, is this anti-oil and gas? Why are you calling it disruptors? It sounds super aggressive. And we kind of stopped our guns and went, it's absolutely not anti-oil and gas. It's really about trying to reframe this energy challenge as a tremendous opportunity and really getting people to think differently around their energy future. But again, we didn't necessarily, we didn't do any surveys or do any kind of research on how are people going to respond to this. We just had, I think, an intuition and an instinct that there was a kind of gap in the market, and no one was really doing this. And as simple as it sounds, there'd be a renewables event or an oil and gas event or a nuclear event, and these groups just weren't talking to each other and they felt extremely siloed. I think the other aspect we, and perhaps stumbled upon by accident, was if you're going to actually engage people, you've got to create an amazing atmosphere and you've got to make it exciting and fun. I'd been to a lot of energy events earlier in my career, and I didn't necessarily feel totally welcome. And it also felt extremely dry, and it was often the same individuals on stage, and it was, you know, quite boring formats. And let's be frank, it was often kind of older dudes all talking on a stage together. It wasn't a true representation of the diversity of our society. And so we decided that we were going to have a much more diverse group of people on our stage. We were going to have live music and artistic performances. We were going to bring a degree of levity and almost like coolness to the topic, so that we'd bring this multi-generational audience. So I suspect that some of those factors, people kind of looked at it and went, well, this feels really different. Let's go and kind of test this out and see what the experience is like.
And that's something that stands out right away in your events and everything. I like to think of it as like conference, meeting Burning Man, meeting all these incredible things. I've never been to Burning Man, but I hear it's a hoot. So, and Energy Disruptors is definitely a hoot as well. And the diversity in your speakers, the impactfulness of your speakers, all hitting the mark entirely. And I will say, as somebody that first entered into the area and for your first presentation was a little bit, okay, what's the context of this? Are we talking about disrupting oil and gas? Coming out of your conference, I've never been a bigger proponent or more excited about the oil and gas and energy industry. It really reinvigorated kind of everything that we're trying to do and showcased what a good, sustainable future could look like. So I think you definitely nailed it there. Speaking of that and kind of the shifts in mindsets, what have you seen as the biggest shifts in the energy industry in the last 5 years?
You know, it's almost like swings and roundabouts. You know, if I'm always time stamping this with the different events that we've done. So first one, again, 2018, we did the second one late 2019. Obviously, COVID hit, and then we brought some back in September of 2022. And honestly, the context through all those different events has been radically different. You know, rewind 5 years ago, I think a lot of, let's pick Calgary and obviously particularly the oil and gas community. there was, I think, a lot of almost hesitancy. When I would bring up EVs and renewables, I sometimes almost get like an angry response back in 2018. I think that that's very different to today. I think there's a general acceptance that there's a profound change that needs to happen in global energy. And we've got this huge issue where we need to decouple emissions from energy. And we don't just do that with increasing renewables and kind of greener sources of energy. We also need to decarbonize the existing pillars of energy as well. And we've got to repurpose infrastructure. So I think that generally that kind of conversation around energy transition has moved forward. But if you compare where we are today to even 2 years ago, I think there's a bit less ambition than there was 2 years ago. That's certainly the oil and gas industry, because early COVID, it felt like the world was being turned upside down and just everything was changing. And a lot of, you know, it sounds crazy to think about it now, but probably early pandemic, when we saw for a brief period of time negative oil prices, it almost felt like, is this the end of an industry? And is this traditional energy world going to be completely disrupted? And that was totally not what has happened. We've seen record demand for oil and gas over the last 12 months. We're seeing increases in coal production generation in places like China. So we, in many ways, it's the challenge has never been greater. And so the reality of that challenge, I think, is it's almost like today, it's how do we get more pragmatic and actually realistic about what we're doing? And we're going to need multiple solutions across all these different parts of the energy value chain. So I think one of the other things that we're trying to do is bring nuance to this whole discussion and actually recognize that this is extremely complicated. And there's a lot of entrenched positions and there's a lot of societal resistance. And this is going to be one of the greatest challenges we face over the next 30, 40, 50 years. So that's kind of, I know it's maybe a slightly long-winded answer, but that's kind of my read of what's happening over the last kind of 4 or 5 years.
And I think that's very consistent with a lot of the other perceptions talking with other energy industry professionals that I've seen or experienced throughout the podcast and elsewhere. So you mentioned kind of the amount of challenges coming over the next 20, 30 years. I know everyone's probably been asking you this question. A lot of people are curious about it. I'm super curious about it. What are the next steps for energy disruptors? What are you thinking for that?
Yeah, so this is something we've been really spending a lot of time thinking about over the last 12 months. I mean, the first thing I'd say is, you know, we're bringing the summit back this October 1st and 2nd, and we're going to be moving venues to the new BMO Center. So if there's listeners outside of Calgary, this is the new $500 million investment in a new event center here in Calgary. So we're really excited because we're one of the first major events to be in that new venue. Mm-hmm. And that's going to really help us with our programming. And as we made that decision to move venues, we also made the decision that we were going to move to an annual cycle. So where we're at with energy disruptors is it's almost like professionalizing it a little bit more. And actually we're building out full-time teams and we're resourcing the business properly and we're putting better systems and processes. And what we're really trying to do is kind of make a step change. And I think our team, we're always challenging ourselves that we're never standing still. So for folks who've been to the previous three summits, coming back this year, the aim and the ambition is that it's better than it's ever been. That's the plan. It's got to be better lineup, more engaging, a better experience, better production. I think the minute we stand still with it is the minute it starts to slowly die. And probably as well, that's when our interests would be lost. So we're always trying to push ourselves to basically make it better. We've also made the decision we want to keep it here in Calgary. We had, I'd say, multiple opportunities to take it to other markets. And every time it came to getting more serious about that, we really recognized that we want it to be in Calgary. The community here has been incredible, supporting it right from the beginning. And I think it can be a tremendous asset for the city longer term. And I think the longer term vision is we want to build the festival and music component of it as well. And really turn this into kind of the South by Southwest of energy and climate over the next 10, 10 or 20 years. And we know that that's a long journey to be able to do that.
If anyone can do it, though, it's Energy Disruptors. And I really love that strong Calgary vision as well. As a Calgarian, both my wife and I for many years, really the thought of having something like this homegrown and just being so impactful for the city is quite inspiring. And I'm sure that you'll be successful in that vision and mission as you go. So lastly, before we wrap up here, Graham, any words of advice for disruptors in energy directly from the CEO and founder of Energy Disruptors themselves? What would you say to these individuals just to wrap up and leave as final thoughts?
I think the immediate thought that comes to mind is just around courage and leadership. So your one of your prior questions was about kind of what's the state of energy today and kind of where are things at? And probably one of my disappointments has been that it does feel like there's a bit less ambition than there was 2 or 3 years ago, certainly within the oil and gas industry. And really, I think what we need is more leadership. So if you're, I don't actually think it matters what level you're sitting within an organization. If you're talking about people sitting in big companies, how can you be more courageous and stick your head above the parapet, so to speak? So that would be probably the thing I'd finish with is just be courageous, stick to your values. Change never happens when you're comfortable. So you've got to be willing to actually get uncomfortable. And that is extremely painful. You know, when we started this, this has not been a trajectory straight up to the right on a graph. It has been so difficult to kind of get this going. And it continues to be. It's an ongoing challenge. And what we try to do is tell ourselves, okay, this is super uncomfortable. It's scary. What if we fail? It's going to be really embarrassing. There's a lot of people that come to this. But in some ways, that's reinforcing that we must be pushing ourselves because there's a degree of discomfort. So that's what I would say as well, is be prepared to be uncomfortable if you want to make profound change and push things.
Thank you very much, Graham. That's an amazing way to end and wrap up here. Thanks again for taking the time. Thanks for talking on our podcast here. And I look forward to attending Energy Disruptors in October coming up here.
Awesome. Good to see you, Mike. Thanks, obviously, for all you're doing in the space and appreciate being on the podcast.
Cheers.
If you haven't already, visit rainforestab.ca and sign the Rainforest Social Contract. Become part of the inclusive, silo-busting, sector-agnostic, all-industry, open-sourced, ego-shrinking, ecosystem-building, entrepreneur-focused, wide-open, social barrier-smashing community known as Rainforest Alberta. This episode was brought to you by New Idea Machine. NIM helps new software developers, UI UX designers, and product managers gain mentored hands-on industry experience. And at the same time, we provide companies with risk-free tech talent. Definitely a win-win-win situation. Visit newideamachine.com for more information. Music for the show was created by Tony Deldegan. Please be sure to share this episode with everyone you know. Also, don't forget to come by and say hi at the next Rainforest event. Let us know what you think of this podcast. If you're interested in being either a host, sponsor, or a guest of the show, send me an email at rainforestpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.